This is Jay Sekulow. President Biden's border crisis is erupting. Where's the vice president?
Live from Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live.
Do you have an update on whether the vice president plans to travel to Central America or to the border as part of her looking into the root causes of the immigration problem?
I don't have an update on her travel, but since you give me the opportunity, it's important to understand and know that she is focused on addressing root causes in the region. And so travel, I would expect, would be there. The border and expediting processing at the border, opening shelters, ensuring we're moving kids out of Border Patrol facilities, that is really under the purview of the Department of Homeland Security and HHS.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
And they all work together, but the vice president's focus is on the region, root causes, and engaging with governments directly.
And now, chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I could have really entitled this broadcast, Blame Trump. And I say that because the Biden administration response to the crisis at the border, which, of course, they won't call a crisis at the border, is only exasperated by the fact that nobody will say when anybody's going down there to see what the problem is. So I'm going to play you again what Jen Psaki, the press secretary, was asked yesterday about a visit by the president or vice president to see what's going on down there in the region. Take a listen.
Do you have an update on whether the vice president plans to travel to Central America or to the border as part of her looking into the root causes of the immigration problem?
I don't have an update on her travel, but since you give me the opportunity, it's important to understand and know that she is focused on addressing root causes in the region. And so travel, I would expect, would be there. The border and expediting processing at the border, opening shelters, ensuring we're moving kids out of Border Patrol facilities, that is really under the purview of the Department of Homeland Security and HHS. And they all work together, but the vice president's focus is on the region, root causes, and engaging with governments directly.
Root causes in the region is the problem. So we're going to determine how to handle those root problems at the border in the region by not going there. I mean, think about this for a moment. And how about this one? Did Jen Psaki not think somebody, Logan, was going to ask when are they going down to see it?
They've asked him a bunch of times. They've asked her specifically, VP Harris, and she laughed it off and said, ha, not today. That's really the comments that came out. I'm sure we can get that bite as well at some point. That's the comments from just a week ago. And I'm not really understand why this is even a question. It's almost like a weird swerve and a weird power move they're playing by not going to the border when you know that other people are visiting. Seeing the photos have all leaked out. It's not like we don't know what it looks like in the crisis that's happening. I don't understand why this is something they've decided to really, you know, hold on to, which is, no, if we don't visit it, it's like it's not there. So you won't even, and what is the root cause of not going and seeing it for yourself and at least getting the American people to understand what we're trying to do to help this crisis?
Wes, you served as a colonel in the United States military. When you had a conflict zone, the commanders would rely not only on intelligence, but would often visit the region.
They have to, absolutely. You know, and presidents have a long tradition in the United States, as well as vice presidents, of being what is often referred to as comforter-in-chief. When there's a hurricane or a flood or earthquake, almost immediately the president of the United States shows up. I think part of what's going on here, they don't want to call it a crisis, as you mentioned, Jay. If the president shows up or the vice president is almost tacitly acknowledging that it is a crisis and they don't want to go there.
Like visiting a hurricane, you know, debris and that kind of thing. I understand that point of view. I understand them not wanting to use the word crisis, so I disagree with it. I understand from a PR point of view they're wanting to spend it. I don't get the no visiting, though. That doesn't make
any
sense.
I would say you got to have, Andy, the Ministry of Presence. You got to be there to see what's going on.
Well, the first thing that we do in a criminal prosecution is visit the scene of the crime. We visit the scene of the crime, yep. We put the tape up, we look at it, we evaluate it, we see where the body's lying, we see where the cars are turned over, we see where the bullets have hit the trees, or if it's an execution, or if it's in a house. We go there and we look, and I don't see what the problem is and why this woman
is
laughing instead of looking.
She is laughing instead of looking, and it's all political. All right, we've got a matching challenge campaign up, and we are in the last 2 days. By the way, we are have filed 4 cases at the United Nations, declarations, on Christian persecution around the world. This is Easter week. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We're about 500,000 away from our stretch goal. ACLJ.org. Your gift will be matched.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Administration projects the number of unaccompanied children crossing the border could spiral from more than 16,000 this month, which is a gigantic number, to 26,000 a month by September. Until this month, the record, now listen to this, the record for unaccompanied minors was 11,475 in May of 2019. The minimum projections for each of the next 6 months are thousands higher than that. In fact, to give you a sense of how this is going to go, the administration projected just a month ago the figure for May would be 13,000. The new estimate is now 22,000 to 25,000 unaccompanied minors, mostly not little kids, Logan. Mostly these are not, we're not talking about, you know,
they're admitting that. Like even the administration said, these are mostly older teenagers that are teenagers and older that are showing up. There's not a lot of babies coming in. So the question again is, why this is happening? And I think that's a big question that a lot of us, see a lot of our listeners asking, what is the root cause of not the crisis? What's the root cause of why people are coming in such a larger number? And there's a lot of people saying, is it that they just think this is going to be an easier time to get through? And look, I think we look at these pictures and you can't help but look just like a couple years ago during other administrations, during the Trump administration, looking at the pictures of the way that we have to handle this right now. And it is heartbreaking. It's sad for these kids. It's also sad of why these kids are there. A lot of them are not there by their own, they didn't want to come. There's a lot of that issues. Not a lot also coming from Mexico.
Nope.
There's a lot of problems that are going on beyond just when you look at the humanitarian side, which obviously we all have a heart for these kids. You look at them, you go, we got to figure out something. There has to be a solution to this problem. And like you said, it can't just be, well, send them back. Well, some of these kids, there is no even record of where they could go. So we have to figure out the issue and a solution to this problem, but also you have to figure out why in record numbers people are showing up all of a sudden in the last 90 days. And it's not just, it's a better weather. You know, it's much more than that.
No, I think part of it is, look, I mean, I think you got to understand something, folks. These illegal crossings are enterprises. They're businesses. They're cartels. We're going to get into that. Coyotes, they're called. This is a business. And what they're doing in their business, I suspect, is selling Andy that this is now a new administration in the White House. It's going to be easier for your teenager to get into the United States, which raises a whole host of problems. Then what do you do with them? And where do you house them? They're talking about taking, I'll get to that with Wes in a minute, military bases. But, Andy, it's a business. People need to understand this, and it's a dangerous business.
Well, that's absolutely.
And an illegal business.
It is illegal. It is dangerous. It's all you say, Jay. But this is an enterprise. It is an enterprise that has been put into place by people who are violent criminals in many cases who are involved in drug cartels and the smuggling and sex trade and sex trafficking, and they're using these children for that purpose.
And I want to say this too. The numbers of the approval ratings are stunning when you actually look at this. And this is not...
Talking about the Biden approval rating?
Yeah, so it's not like they're doing this. They're not using the word crisis and they're not showing up. And it's not affecting the numbers. It is. And that's where it's not like this is just a Democrat
what
talking point.
Like?
And we're the only people saying, how could they do this? Their own people are saying this. So when you actually break it down to all adults, Republican, Democrat, this just came out this morning. It's from NPR. This is not exactly like we're talking about, you know,
conservative
media. This is not coming from Newsmax or, you know, something like that. The overall job performance, 52% of all adults, they approve. 52% of Biden. So you'd say that's kind of like the
normal
the vote. You know, that's kind of where it goes. The coronavirus pandemic, up to 65%. People have said that. The economy, 51%. Again, immigration, 34%. So a massive drop down amongst Democrats. It's only 66%. So that is obviously
37%
a huge problem. Yeah. 27% of all independents, they think that this is a crisis. So just avoiding the terminology or avoiding going there, it's not like it's helping anyone. It's not like we're just talking about this because this seems like a more conservative talking point. Yep. This is something that everyone is concerned about. And I think a lot of it has to do with those images that came out. When people saw the images and they realized that these are the people who said kids in cages for years and years and years. And guess what? You had another president, another administration, and the pictures are worse now. And I think because it's not an easy problem to solve either. This is not something that you just flip the lights on. But you can easily make it worse. And that's what's happened.
So they are talking about, at least agency planning right now going on west, to open up space for more than 5,000 kids using sites on military bases. How would that work?
Well, there are buildings on military bases where they gather troops in for projected deployments and for people when they return. They have some facilities to do that. The problem with this is that's not what military bases are designed for. And if we had to quickly deploy or redeploy troops, you're taking those same spaces and buildings and using it for what is a crisis of the Biden's administration's own making. This is a humanitarian fiasco, but I think the lackadaisical response by the Biden administration is making it be perceived, rightly so, as a moral crisis. And you were talking about these families coming across, these unaccompanied children. That does not include children from Mexico, because they can be sent back almost immediately. It does not include families with children. These 20-something thousand people coming across are unaccompanied children. And sex traffickers and drug cartels, they're not going and turning themselves into CBP. They're also operating in places where it's not guarded. And the latest thing that has come out, which is just adds travesty upon travesty, is that if families in Central America are short on the cash to pay a coyote to bring their kid to the U.S. border, drug cartels are stepping in, and they're using these young people as mules to smuggle the drugs across the border in exchange for payment. Mm. I mean, this crisis just gets uglier and uglier.
How, Andy, following up on what Wes said, we know that these kids are being utilized.
Right.
They're being utilized, we said, for sex trafficking. They're being utilized for drug movement. And by the way, that doesn't just affect your border town. It gets dispersed throughout the entire United States.
Eventually, yes. You know,
right through the interstate system.
Yeah, that's exactly right. For instance, in Georgia, the biggest trafficking highway for drug trafficking is Interstate 95. We got coming up from Florida, coming up from the Caribbean and Central and South America. So the same thing happens here. But the burden that's put on the states is also enormous, Jay. This, like Texas is expected to educate, to provide social services for these children, New Mexico, Arizona, and so forth. And the taxpayers of those jurisdictions, as my colleague and friend Harry Hutchison pointed out, and he'll talk about more, has economic consequences as well.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that with Harry in the second half of the show. Martha Raddatz, this is interesting, had on an unnamed person that was involved in crossing, so immigrant coming in from South America or Mexico, and listen to the interview.
Would you have tried to do this when Donald Trump was president?
Definitely not. Definitely. We had the chance, you know, the same violence that is going on today was there last year. We used to watch the news and... I definitely won't do this.
So did you come here because Joe Biden was elected president?
Basically.
The Biden administration's got to own this. They're going to try to blame President Trump, but they're going to have to own this.
and they're going to have to own it, seen it, but they got to fix it. I mean, you know, and recognize it. It's very, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. It's very difficult to solve a problem you don't recognize exists. What do they call it? Challenges at the border? They want to, from a PR reason, not use the word crisis. That is bizarre to me, but that, because that's what it is. And by the way, the media is calling it that. We all know that's what it is. It's a humanitarian crisis. It's more than a humanitarian challenge. But it's going to have repercussions in our country. By the way, coming up in the next segment of the broadcast, Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us, former Secretary of State and Director of the CIA. I want to get his input on this. But you look at the situation that we have now, and the documents show that the U.S. Health and Human Services needs 6,000 extra shelter beds right now. They are targeting already at 90% capacity, and the government is asking for employees to volunteer to go down to the border, Wes.
And yet, this is not a crisis. I mean, this is absolutely insane. And yet, last week at his press conference, finally he had one, President Biden stood there and in front of God and everybody said, this is routine. It happens every year. There's nothing new here. This is new, and it's a humanitarian crisis. It's a moral crisis. As Harry's going to talk about it, it's going to be an economic crisis. It's a national security crisis. And yet the Biden administration is refusing to acknowledge the reality of any of these things.
But Logan, you would think they would look at their own polling data and say, we got to do something here.
Yeah, maybe after today we see some changes, because I think that should be a rude awakening for them, that the American people are frustrated and concerned about what's going on from all points of view. From a humanitarian point of view, from a conservative view, from a liberal view, there's overwhelming amount of people who, even the people who support the current administration and support how he's done again on COVID, how he's done on all the different things, the economy, there's a massive drop off because you see it and it is hard to get. You can't really look at those photos and not go, something has gone wrong and we have to figure out a solution here.
The American Center for Law and Justice is going to be working on that. We are working on right now a Freedom of Information Act request to DHS, Department of Homeland Security, to find out what's going on here. That'll be filed this week. It'll take about a month for them to respond, or we'll go to court. Also, this very period of time, the ACLJ has filed 4 submissions called Universal Periodic Reviews on the status of human rights in Trinidad, in Suriname, in Greece, and in Sudan, all in the last month, on the issue of persecution. Your support makes a big difference. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. All these countries come up automatically. Some have good records. I mean, the problems in Greece are not the problems that you have in Sudan, as you can imagine. Same thing would be with the United States. There's issues, but not these kind of problems. That's why we're there. ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Biden administration is now projecting that the numbers of unaccompanied children, and these are usually teenagers, crossing the border could spiral from more than 16,000 this month to as many as 26,000 by a month in starting in September. There's still no plans for the vice president to go down to the border. What is clear, and this is becoming more evident every day because Jen Psaki gets asked the question and has no answer, and that is, when is the vice president who's been put in charge of this going down there? Joining us right now is senior counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice. He heads up our senior counsel for global affairs, Mike Pompeo, former secretary of state and director of the CIA. So, Secretary Pompeo, let me ask you this. The Biden administration, I think, is going to ramp up something, and that's going to be blame the Trump administration, what you all were doing.
Jay, that seems like their only recourse at this point. Their policies have really created craziness down on our southern border. It took us a little while to get it fixed from what we were handed from the Obama administration, frankly. It took us a number of months to get it right. We had the courts throw out some of the early work we did. But in the end, we had delivered a foreign policy outcome that protected America, stopped drugs and traffickers and cartels from honing in on these people who are so vulnerable, trying to make the walk from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. And we had delivered a national security solution for the United States of America. They upended it. They flipped the switch without thinking about it, without thinking about the repercussions of this. They thought, well, that's a Trump and a Pompeo policy. We're going to walk away from that thing. It is now showing that we had it right. We had the right end of the stick on this thing. We had protected and defended America, and they're refusing to.
You know, and now the numbers are dangerous for our country. It's always a problem, but you reach critical mass. Now, here's what I don't understand. We were talking about this internally, Mike, and that's this. Jen Psaki yesterday, can I play this again? Let's go ahead and play it again. It was asked specifically about the Vice President Harris, going down to the region because she's now in charge of the policy. Take a listen, everybody.
Do you have an update on whether the Vice President plans to travel to Central America or to the border as part of her looking into the root causes of the immigration problem?
I don't have an update on her travel, but since you give me the opportunity, it's important to understand and know that she is focused on addressing root causes in the region. And so travel, I would expect, would be there. The border and expediting processing at the border, opening shelters, ensuring we're moving kids out of border
okay.
patrol.
I'm going to jump in there. Secretary Pompeo, I need a translator for what she's saying because the root problem. Well, the root problem is we changed our policies.
Yeah, but when you hear progressive leftists talk about root causes, whatever form it's in, you know they're talking about something fundamentally different than the problem truly at hand. The root cause here that she's thinking of is something that's happening in Central America or something that's happening in Mexico. The root cause of the problem here is what's happening in the West Wing today. It's that the United States has made a fundamental decision to welcome illegal trafficking across our border, to do nothing to stop it, to put our men who are serving at ICE and CBP, folks that Ike went down to Mexico and saw with great frequency, the president traveled down there, everybody from our senior leadership went down to try and solve this problem. We ultimately got it done right. When you hear them refer to root causes, you know they have no seriousness about actually addressing what really caused the current surge at our border.
The impact of not having the border security wall continue, is that significant?
Yes, walls matter. Walls matter from a physical perspective, and they matter from a deterrence perspective. Remember, one of the important things here, Jay, is that you have to make clear that people aren't going to be welcome to travel here unlawfully. If they see a green light, if they call their friends, if they text their friends who are here and say, yes, come one, come all, they will. You have to convince them. You have to make the case that you're not going to be permitted to come in here unlawfully. When you do, you can turn it off. You can convince these people not to make the inhumane trek across that Mexican terrain.
You know, I've got two military men here. We've got Colonel Wes Smith, and then Mike Pompeo also served, of course, in the military. I want to run a question to Colonel Smith for a moment, and then I'm going to run the same question to Secretary Pompeo, and that is, we talked about this earlier, the use of military facilities to house these children and the impact that could have on military readiness, Wes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the military, as I said earlier, the bases are not designed for this. Does the military help out in humanitarian crisis? Yes, of course. but there are limited facilities on bases, and these facilities have other uses, and you might be able to put migrants in there for a while, but you, generally the places they use are barracks and other gathering facilities that are used for pre-deployment of troops and redeployment of troops.
So, Mike, I was going to ask you the same question, because it's you had to deal with this in logistics in the military. I mean, because they have no other options, apparently, they're proposing using military bases to house thousands of these kids.
I think Colonel Smith has it exactly right. We looked at this as well. It doesn't make any sense except as a an extremist matter for a temporary period of time. But that means you have to have the policy right. If you have the policy wrong, it's neither an extremist nor temporary, but in fact your agenda. It's what you're trying to achieve. And so to use these facilities for their not for purposes they were not built, not intended, and which put at risk our soldiers from viruses and all the things that we know may be a real risk makes no sense. I regret that they've chosen to go down this path. I regret even more that they will have to continue to fill up more military facilities if this crisis continues.
What would you do if you were in charge? What would you do right now?
That's pretty straightforward. We had it right. I'd go back to the set of policies we had. We had remained in Mexico. We had a series of protocols. We had agreements with the Mexican government. This was highly negotiated at the most senior levels, the most senior diplomatic levels, myself, a gentleman named Counselor Ulrich Breckbiel. We worked, and our CBP friends and ICE and DHS, all of us worked together to deliver a holistic solution that was humane and protected and preserved America. They ought to simply go back to that. I'm convinced that the leadership in Mexico and Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala would accept that. We ought to go back and make the case to them and get back to where we were. This would be the most humane, decent thing to do for everyone concerned.
Let me switch gears to China and Iran, because we analyzed yesterday and we're doing a much deeper analysis of this new deal that was signed between the Chinese government and the Iranians, $400 billion over a 25-year period. How dangerous is this deal? And China is always trying to exert its influence now into the Middle East.
This is a fundamental fallout from an administration that has now chosen to take a different path with Iran. The Chinese talked about this deal while we were in office, but they didn't sign it because they knew they would have, by transferring this wealth, these resources, doing this deal, they would have violated U.S. sanctions, and that we would have held them accountable for violating those sanctions. The majority of those sanctions, by the way, are still in place. I hope the administration will begin to sanction Chinese officials for violating current U.S. law. Look, the connection between the two, it will essentially be Iranian oil for Chinese money, resources, and military power. Jay, you'll remember the arms embargo that was part of the crazy nuclear deal, the JCPOA, expired after 5 years. It's over. We did snap back. We made it. We continued to extend it, and the administration in its first 60 days undid that. So now the Iranians are free to buy Chinese weapon systems and to sell the Chinese crude oil. This is really a step backward for the Middle East peace and stability and for the security of the American people.
Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs for the ACLJ. Thanks for your analysis, as always. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
So long, Jay.
You know, I want to say, as we get ready to close this broadcast or this segment out, we're here for another 30 minutes. So if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, go over to ACLJ.org, go over to Facebook, YouTube, SiriusXM, a number of stations around the country, get the full hour. We got a lot more information coming up. But you just heard from the former Secretary of State, who's part of our team, as a Senior Counsel for Global Affairs. Your support of the American Center for Law and Justice allows that to happen. We were able to bring in Mike Pompeo, former Ambassador Rick Grenell, and others because of your support for our work at the ACLJ, which also allows us to get to the bottom of what's going on at the border, as our lawyers are working on that right now, or go to the United Nations on Christian persecution and point those issues out to the UN. Matching challenge at ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. A crisis at the border, 26,000 by September coming each month, unaccompanied minors. This is a significant number. And these unaccompanied minors are used by these coyotes, these cartels, Andy, to bring harm to other parts of the country.
That's exactly right, Jay. The purpose of this illegal immigration is to bring in teenagers, children, whatever, for sex trafficking purposes, as mules, to carry drugs, to spread crime and gang violence throughout the United States. This is part of the plan to undermine our democracy by these smugglers, call them coyotes, call them whatever you want to, but what they are is facilitators of illegal immigration for purposes of committing crime. These are racketeers of the first order, and we are not doing anything that we need to do that the Trump administration did, the Biden administration is not following. Under current policies, the government is facing unheard of numbers of migrant children illegally crossing the border this fiscal year, from 159,000 to 184,000, and they're up to no good.
And Logan, they know they're going to be asked about visiting the border or having senior officials down there. Senators have gone down. That's the only reason you're getting any photographs. And they won't do it. And they won't commit to do it. And they know it's hurting them politically.
Yeah, I think the press is upset because they're not getting any sort of journalistic freedom access, in this and access to actually see what's happening. The only photos that have come out are really those that have been leaked by members of our own government or by other sources who have come out and leaked these photos. We aren't seeing a lot of official. Now they're starting to see some official photos being released. But again, they're plummeting in the polls on this. So I don't understand why they think this is the way the American people want to see it. They want to know the truth, what's happening. If we can't acknowledge the truth, we can't move on and figure out what it is that we can do to help stop this problem that's happening. You could spin media however you want, but just ignoring the problem, it's simply not going to work, and it never does.
Harry, there's an economic consequence to this. We're going to get it into it in greater detail in the next segment. But let's be realistic. When you're talking about 25,000, 26,000 unaccompanied minors coming into the United States a month by September, and tens of thousands now, this has economic consequences.
Absolutely. So unmistakably, there is a surging crisis at our border, and all of the skill and all of the education of Press Secretary Psaki cannot hide that fact from the American people. The key economic question is, what will be the long-term economic impact on the United States? And if we are going to discuss that particular question, we need to be able to distinguish between two groups: illegal immigration, which is surging, and legal immigration. So often Democrats, when they talk about immigration, they talk about legal immigration. Well, no one really opposes legal immigration. So the key question is, what are the economic effects of illegal immigration? According to an organization called FAIR, in 2017, the cost of illegal immigration into the United States was approximately $116 billion. But even that burden understates the real impact, because the impact is borne disproportionately by border states, in contradistinction to states that are located outside of the border area.
We're going to get into this in greater detail, and then there'll be more dollars impacted when, in fact, you have more numbers. It's just the way it works. All right. Don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign, and we're in the last 2 days of the month of March. We've got a stretch goal. We're about $500,000 away from that stretch goal. So we need to raise a lot of support in the next 2 days. Your support of the ACLJ, if you've already donated, thank you. If you haven't, let me encourage you to do it now. ACLJ.org, any amount you donate, we got donors that are going to match that gift. So if you donate $50, we get $100, we get $200. That's the way it works. So let me encourage you to participate in that. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for more, including your phone calls at 800-684-3110 when we come back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
This. We're going to take some phone calls right at 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Jamie in California. On line one, Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Mr. Sekulow. Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is this. It's about the border wall and specifically the unfinished sections.
Yep.
So I've heard that all the construction have been paid for. The contractors have been paid and the materials are there. We've seen videos and pictures of the construction wall material that's just laying there in the unfinished sections. So would it be possible then, obviously Joe Biden's going to do nothing about this. He's not going to put a stop to it. He's not going to start, you know, finish the wall. Would it be possible for the farmers and ranchers and landowners to do it themselves on their own
property?
No,
because they would be, Andy, taking government property.
You can't interfere with the construction of a government project, take on government property, or give a gift or gratuity to the United States. So that would be an illegal move. It's the government that should do it. The government started to do it. It was a good plan. It was working. It was in place. It was proper. The policies were reversed by the Biden administration, and the crisis that we're getting, and I call it a crisis, is the consequence of their reversal of policies that were working. Private landowners cannot get on the land and do this. It's not possible.
You know, the other aspect of this is, and Logan gave you the statistics on this, is Joe Biden's approval rating is 52% overall, job performance. Some gave it even higher on the economy.
Economy and COVID 52, doing pretty well.
COVID, yeah. 60%. But then when it came to this,
it's in the 30s, and that's for everyone. That's not just Republicans or just independents, or that includes Democrats. It's skewing much lower than I think that they even anticipated. And again, I think you have a lot of compassion to people who see those images. And regardless of where you stand politically, you look at the images, just like when it was under President Trump, I feel the same way. You look at the images and you go, this is a big problem. We got to fix it.
And Harry, the economic impact of all of that. So while the economy numbers are looking better, the truth is we haven't seen the economic impact of what's going on at these numbers when you're talking about double what it used to be.
Absolutely. So it's very likely that illegal immigration will affect the United States adversely in two distinct ways. First, in terms of the overall employment rate for native-born Americans, people that are here illegally. They're trying to find a job. They're trying to supply food for their family. In addition, illegal immigration will have a negative impact on the fiscal status of many states. They have to bear, particularly border states, a disproportionate burden. They have to educate illegals. They have to provide social services. And then once they educate these individuals over, let's say, the next 15 to 20 years, many of those individuals will move on to other states. And then once they've been educated, they may indeed provide benefits to other states. So in some respects, we're asking border states to bear a disproportionate burden, and it's all because of the lassitude of the Biden administration, which neglects to show any real interest. You could call this a form of political masochism, except the elite class in the United States is not bearing the cost. It's the American people who are bearing the cost.
Let me play Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne's comments, because you got to also realize the impact on our Customs and Border Patrol agents that are bearing a huge burden of this. And now there's a call for volunteers within the administration to go down to this non-crisis at the border, as the administration doesn't call it a crisis. We think it is.
You've got Customs and Border folks who are at the end of their rope. They're doing what they can, but they're also very frustrated, realizing that they had actually warned this administration what would happen if they decided to push back on policies that were put in place by the previous administration that were working. They were keeping children with their families. They were keeping people over the border. They were keeping them in the first safe country that they came to.
Andy, you work with a lot of law enforcement, including law enforcement that has to involve in interdiction procedures when children are being trafficked or these kind of situations unfortunately happening. This is taxing local officials too.
Absolutely correct. The local officials are really the first line of defense after they get across the border. The local officials are the ones that have to deal with the day-and-day problems of the cities and the counties and the municipalities that are along the border that have to receive these migrants, these immigrants illegally coming in, and how can they do it? So it's not just the Customs and Border people. I agree with the Congresswoman in what she said, but it's also sheriffs, deputy sheriffs, policemen, law enforcement officers of all kinds, constables, magistrates, judges, and so forth, that have to adjudicate the crimes that are being committed by these people once they get over the border. So the whole system is on the line, Jay. The whole system is being burdened enormously by this mass of immigration and the improper and ridiculous reversal of the policies of the Trump administration.
Let's go ahead and take another. We're taking your calls, by the way, 800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in via Facebook or the other ways you listen on social media.
Let's go to Mary Ellen, Illinois. You're on the air.
Hi, Mary Ellen.
Oh, hello. Thank you again for taking the call and all you do. I have a question.
Yep.
Since they don't seem to call this a problem, do you think that they're trying to flood the system and ignore all this crisis, kind of, so that these teenagers, you know, and there's thousands of them, they're going to be soon voting age, that they would use that as a way to flood the system, and it's like soon to be.
Yeah, but they don't have, right now, they don't have citizenship. Now, if you, but however, Joe Biden has talked about, Harry, putting forward a pathway to citizenship plan, or at least something. I have looked at that in the past and have supported pathways to citizenship done in the appropriate way, but they're talking about on a fast forward way. I don't know if it has any chance of getting through the Senate, but the point is, of course, that it's political. To ignore the politics of it would be ignoring reality.
I think that's precisely correct. And I also think the caller is onto something, because in some jurisdictions, we do not correctly identify who is a citizen and who isn't. So it's possible that at the margin, at least some of these individuals may vote in the future, even before they attain citizenship.
And by the way, it's not like Republicans didn't think, hey, if we could pass this under our team in office, that maybe they'll vote Republican. I mean, that's just the reality. That's just the real politique. Yeah. That's what that is.
Right.
Let me ask you this, Logan. Knowing, if they know, which they do, the way this is being polled, the way this is being viewed, yeah. Jen Psaki knew she was going to get a question on when is Vice President Harris going to the border. Don't know. What is their method here?
Yeah, we know the press conferences have been kind of next to nothing overall. In general, I mean, compared to what we had the last 4 years, you're not getting a lot of answers. You're not getting a lot. You're getting a lot of delays, and you're getting situations like this where the same questions are asked every day, and there's never a new answer. Things are laughed off. People are insulted, and they move on, and that's really how they've run the show this far. thus far. However, again, the polling numbers are crashing. I think some of that also has to do with the report that, you know, the kids who are there, are getting in school learning, and then the kids in, like in San Diego, are still
that to
not.
Everybody, because that is a report that's out right now.
Yeah, one of the reports right now is that, you know, California schools aren't even quite to hybrid school. I think that happens in a few weeks. They move into hybrid schooling, but they've got to do something for these kids. So, you know, in person learning is happening at the border at this crisis situation for these children. Again, it's not necessarily these children kids' fault, but it shows you how the, and I don't think that's playing well. I really don't. I don't think that's just, again, a conservative talking point. I think a lot of people look at this and go, this is an issue overall, an overarching issue. You're prioritizing, these people who are trying to get here illegally, and not even them. People are sending them in this situation, prioritizing their education over the education of your actual citizens in the area. That's one element. The other element is the humanitarian side. If we're seeing the pictures, seeing how bad it is, and their reaction is next to nothing. Their reaction is, don't do anything. When you actually can say for President Trump back in the administration, when the outcry came, there actually was a pretty good response. There was responses that came out of it. You may have not thought they were satisfactory. You may have not agreed with where they went, but there at least was a response. And this was, look, I don't think that it played a small part in the Biden administration becoming a Biden administration. I think a lot of people saw that narrative of the kids in cages, if you will, and that was a big, big catalyst, specifically amongst liberals who were are the more humanitarian side and are looking for that, to then see that their own guy is also abandoning this situation in their eyes. It's not going to play out well.
But think about this. In school, live learning for people that, for young teenagers.
This is like the California section.
Yeah, in California. Texas. For those that cross the border into California illegally. In live learning, teachers coming into whatever the makeshift classroom is. Yeah. But for most of the students, they don't even have the hybrid in place yet.
And no testing, right? No COVID testing.
No COVID testing, that's right. Now think about that for a minute. Especially, we have a large listening audience in California. Your kids aren't in school yet. And they're doing this. The kids that come in here illegally, we're going to give them live instruction in school. Your kid, you the taxpayer, your child, your grandchild, virtual. I mean, just think about that for a minute. We're going to get to the bottom of that one, too. Another FOIA request idea, I think, would be appropriate. Let's find out how that was decided. Your support of the ACLJ makes all of this possible. ACLJ.org for a matching challenge gift. ACLJ.org. Last segment, we'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the last segment of the broadcast, 800-684-3110. I just got notified of something from Professor Hutchison here. We're going to save it, but I just want to let you know what we're dealing with. Because this one is, I cannot even believe in 2021, this is where it is. We'll get more details. We're just getting the beginnings of it. But Harry, I'm gonna go right to the calls. But Harry, just give a little bit of what is going on in California. We were talking about, you know, that illegal immigrants that are coming in unlawfully, immigrants that are coming in unlawfully, I guess is the way you're supposed to say it now, into the United States are given in-person instruction in California when your students in California are not. But don't worry, because there's a new curriculum being adopted as well. Quickly, Harry, on that.
Well, in California, they have adopted a new curriculum which requires public school kids to essentially pray to two Aztec deities who believe in human sacrifice.
Okay, so we're going to just stop it right there and save it for another day. But this shows you how absurd things are going in California. I mean, absurd. Now, we're going to get into this and find out what it is, but absurd. Let's go to the phones, take the calls.
Yeah, let's go. We got a couple of calls. Let's go to Doris in Pennsylvania, in PA. Line one, you're on the air.
Hi, Doris.
Hello. Thank you for all you do.
Yep.
My question is, if a humanitarian or church group wanted to come in, such as Samaritan's Purse, would they let them to help these kids?
You know, I know under the Trump administration that they encouraged what they called faith-based partners, because they have an Office of Faith-Based Initiatives, to provide assistance. I have not heard what the policy is, nor have I seen any. I know Mercy Chefs, which is an organization I personally support, Pam and I support, that has done some real work in that area. I don't know if they've gone down to the border, though, this time. I mean, I just don't know. And I don't know what the policy of the administration is. I would guess, based on what we're seeing, Andy, that probably not, because they're not letting them. They're not letting people into these facilities. They don't want the media in. They're certainly not going to want Samaritan's Purse or others, I would suspect, then.
Yeah, I mean, if a United States senator cannot take a picture of the conditions in there, I don't think that they want intruders that they feel are going to embarrass them for their lack of ability to cope with the situation.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, let's check Samaritan's Purse's website or Operation Blessing and see. I mean, it's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. Normally you would, but again, this is the problem. Will?
Catholic Charities of San Antonio is helping in Texas with volunteers, so there is some.
So there's some volunteers. Yeah, where they're going or what they're doing?
They have at least 350 volunteers who are going to help with a surge that they're expecting in the San Antonio area.
That doesn't really tell. Yeah, so we know. Well, listen, the government's calling for employment volunteers. So I mean that tells you, but yet the refusal to say what this is. You know, it's so hard to solve a problem when you won't, Harry, acknowledge the scope and nature of the problem.
I think that's correct, and I think Logan correctly pointed out that the Biden administration's poll numbers on immigration are cratering, but I think one of the motivations behind their lack of transparency is the fact that their numbers would crater even more if people had an accurate understanding of how bad the conditions are. Remember the mileage that Biden got from claiming that Trump had cages when the pictures actually came from the Obama administration.
Yeah, Logan.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the pictures that were coming out, people started blaming it on Project Veritas. They started blaming it on, they tried to spin it as, well, these are like, you know, conservative Christian propaganda pieces, that these are these photos, and then more photos came out, and then more photos came out, then Ted Cruz is there trying to get in, you could see everything in the background, and then they started releasing photos. People see that and they don't like it. You know, that's something even amongst all administrations, no one liked the way that this was handled when it comes to how kids are treated. And again, this is not about the ones about being separated from their families. These are kids that are coming completely unaccompanied. And look, there's a lot of questions there. Obviously, if you're a 17, you're an 18-year-old, or a 16, 17-year-old, that's a big difference than if you're a 4-year-old.
Exactly.
Or you're a 5-year-old. And there's a reason that person who is 16, 17, and look, could some be there for the reason of trying to have a better life? Absolutely. Could some be there because they're being extorted and used for really horrible things? Absolutely. So we have to make sure that we are in there and we are helping change this crisis that's happening. And obviously, one that's ramping up because of lesser restrictions. And we've seen that time and time again. And they even told Joe Biden, do you think, I watched his press conference, it's because they know that you're a good person. They know that you're a good person, and that's the reason that you're coming. You're a nice guy. They think they can make it in because of that. And he deflected from that. He was like, well, I mean, I guess I'm a nice guy, but that's not the reason. You know, they tried to get to the point where they looked at it going, they don't want to take the blame. And like Professor Hutchinson said, that is a big problem when you're right. Why don't they want to go down to the border? Because more publicity, more bad publicity, because what it is right now is a disaster, and they have zero answers to the problem.
Here's what Senator Ron Johnson said regarding his request of President Biden and kind of the response he got.
President Biden, even though his transition team asked the Trump administration, what can we do to prevent a border crisis? And they told them, keep those policies in place. So basically the first thing that President Biden did is he just dismantled all those programs.
So you dismantled the programs, and then, Andy, you blame the previous administration.
Yeah, I mean, that's the standard modus operandi. Look, something is working. Something is functioning. It's put in place by President Trump. It's operating. Mexico is taking back those people. The other policies that are in place are working. Suddenly, a new priest, new theology. We now have decided that all those things that were working were really not working, and we're going to go back to the way the things were under what he knows. And what he knows was Obama and all Obama's operatives. They're all back in place again.
They are. Brian Stelter from CNN. You laughed, Logan, before I even say anything.
He's not my favorite.
He's not. Here's what he had to say.
And now the new Fox narrative is, when will Biden go to the border? Why hasn't he gone there yet? Why isn't he there right now? We're going to hear that every day, by the way, until he takes the trip. That is how right-wing narratives trickle into the rest of the press, and they divert attention.
Not a narrative. I don't. This is what's ridiculous. I hate this. He's the worst. He's the worst. Top three worst. He's up there. Him and Don Lemon, top two. Worst people on the news, because this is a narrative. This is a conservative narrative, which is why I just told you they'd say. This is a conservative narrative that they're ignoring what's happening. And the polls show it. So quit kowtowing to no one, CNN. No one is watching and agreeing with you. Let's say at most 30% of your audience is agreeing with you. Who are you trying to, just because you're kissing the butt of the Biden administration? That's ridiculous. You can't do this and say this. There are narratives that come out of every campaign. This is not one of them.
You little animated.
I you don't use the word hate. I don't care for him. I don't care for him.
He's Logan on fire. Logan is on fire.
Do we have to press the delete button? Yeah.
No, you could say, who's watching? No, it's fine. You know, I mean, give me a break here. This is where they push me over the edge, because it's so hypocritical and it's so pandering to not even their own base. Look, I think there's a big thing coming out. When you're talking about what's happening in California school, you're talking about schools teaching stuff that you don't want your kids to learn. Guess who's really preaching against that? Real conservatives and real liberals. Real right. liberals. True liberal Democrats who's go, you can't do this. Who's actually kowtowing to this? The 30% of people that approve of how we're doing in the border crisis, because they're sheep and they follow anything they say.
Okay. We're going to get to work on all this. We are getting to work on all this. And your support of the American Center for Law and Justice keeps this broadcast on the air 5 days a week on radio and television and on multiple social media platforms. Keeps our teams engaged, the people behind the scenes, as well as the people you see. And also people like Mike Pompeo and Rick Rennell, who we've added to our team. And also, you know, every day I'm adding a new case that I'm going to have to take a break from that, or we're going to just overload the system. But there's so much happening that we have to stay on top of. Your support allows us to expand. We have a stretch goal of about another $500,000 in 2 days. That's a lot. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org to double your gift.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.